Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
God is good, isn't he? Yeah, all the time. I took note this morning and of the some of the lyrics of the songs we were worshiping to the Lord. And it's amazing that there was such a theme there. And by the way, I don't, Marlene or Barb or youth group or whoever is preparing our worship, I don't call them in advance and say, hey, I'm going to be talking about this. I want songs along this line. I may have done that somewhere along the time I've been here, but very, very seldom do I let this, the worship team know exactly what we're going to be talking about. A couple of reasons I do that. One, because I feel like they get a hold of the Lord. They talk to the Lord and they pray and seek the Lord for the music they're going to lead us into. And second of all, I don't want to be any kind of interference to that. I want to be an encourager of that. And I have the full confidence in the Lord that if he's going to give us a word, and you can watch this over time. You may not have at this point, but you watch over time and you'll begin to see that there's a pattern here. That's the songs that we sing many times are just identical to the theme that the Lord has given us to talk about. And this morning I want to talk about a subject that if you've come to this kind of church before, and I say this kind of church, our church before, then you know pretty much how we worship and that kind of thing. But there are issues in the Bible that are pretty controversial. And I want to talk about one of those that's pretty controversial. But I want to do it in a way that encourages you this morning to seek out for yourself what I'm talking about. Ask the Lord. Look at the scriptures. See if I'm accurate. If I'm not accurate, come tell the church next week and they can get a new pastor the following week. But I'm pretty confident in what I'm talking about because, one, it's in the Bible. Two, I've experienced it. Three, I've observed other people experiencing it. And four, I've felt the effects and seen the effects of those kinds of things in our church, amongst our church people. And so we're going to be talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I want to approach it from a little bit different area. We're going to be in the main scriptures that talk about it in the book of Acts. I want you to turn there this morning. We'll be in the first chapter and in the 11th chapter if we make it that far. But I want to address this because it's a very interesting phenomenon that is taking place today under the umbrella of what is commonly known as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it is not a new thing. It is a thing that has been a part of anyone who is a Spirit-filled, Pentecostal, Holy Ghost, fire-breathing, carpet grazing, whatever, you know what I mean? Whatever label you want to put on people who've had a personal experience with the Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter to me. I just know that it's a real thing. And I don't propose to persuade you this morning in any way, but I do want the church here to be aware of some things about the Holy Spirit and their own personal lives, because you have already encountered the Holy Spirit. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, who in the world do you think you experienced? It was the Holy Spirit of God that regenerated you, that washed you clean, that sanctified you, that did all that work of grace in your life under the direction and the administration of God the Father and God the Son. God the Father on the throne, God the Son at his right hand. And everything that the Holy Spirit is a directive of the Lord. And so you can search that out in Scripture all you want and find that for yourselves. But I just want to encourage you that it's in here, and I think it needs to be observed. I think it needs to be experienced, but not everyone is going to. And not everybody believes it the way I believe it. Not everybody believes that there's a separate experience in Jesus Christ. Many people believe that when you receive Christ, you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You receive the Holy Spirit. There are those who believe that it is a separate and distinct experience with the Lord, and which I am one of those. And then you also have people who go so far as to say, this is so important that if you do not experience this, you won't go to heaven. Now, you can see the two extremes. Can you see the two extremes? And I'm not just a guy that tries to find middle ground. I just think there's two extremes there. And I want you to be aware of that. And there's many variations in between. You know, when do you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Do you speak in tongues? And that's the evidence of it, which is I'm inclined to. And there are those who say when you receive Christ, you receive the Spirit. Therefore, you don't have to necessarily speak in tongues as they did in the day of Pentecost, in the portions of Scripture I'm about to read for you. So whatever your theories you've been exposed to or whatever, I don't propose to change your mind on anything. I just want to share with you what I believe and what I think the Lord is saying to our church. And the reason I think he's saying this to our church, two reasons. One, I think he wants to expand you as an individual. I think this is for personal expansion, for you to grow, for you to stretch, for you to reach out, to broaden your tent. And second of all, I think it's for what God is about to do in our midst and I think in the world today. I think there's a great movement of the Holy Spirit already been working for quite some time. And some people, you know, want to attribute it to certain places like Toronto and Pensacola and Azusa and so forth, all of which are pivotal points in the moving of the Holy Spirit. But that's not all of it, folks. We're here. We're not in Toronto or Pensacola or Azusa. We're right here in Zilla. And what I am encouraged is that the Holy Spirit is moving here. And I want His Holy Spirit to move with great power and blessing and flow in our church. I want us to experience a Zilla movement of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen?
We've been experiencing that every Sunday when you come. It's the Holy Spirit that comes to minister to us. And of course, at the directive of the Father and the Son. And we so appreciate that. But these distinctives about Spirit-filled people or Pentecostal people, whatever era you want to label them with or whatever, is just a distinctive that I think separates us all many times too much from other people who are believers in Christ. I'm not gonna stop fellowshipping with people because they don't believe how I believe about the Holy Spirit. If you're a born-again Christian, we're brothers. According to the Scripture, we're in there. And by the way, that's all you need to get to heaven is to be born again, to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But I want to go a step further. In fact, the writer of Hebrews says similarly in the 6th chapter of Hebrews to go on beyond these things. That's what I want to talk about this morning because I'm talking about personal expansion. If we're talking about walking with Jesus, having a personal relationship with Him, and anticipating His strength, His encouragement, His love, His wisdom, His direction, all these things to come into our lives in this relationship that we have with Jesus, then there are certain things that are prerogatives for us, that are necessary for us. And one of them is to have somewhat of a relationship, whether you go as far as I believe you should go or not, is an important. If you receive Christ, that is the essential. But if you want more, what I'm about to tell you is how to get more and expand yourself at the same time. Amen? If you've turned there already to the book of Acts, the first chapter, I want to read a scripture that's very important. And we sometimes don't take the time to look at the context well enough to glean some of the things I think is Luke is wanting us to know as he writes this to us. The main scripture I want you to look at is verse 8, 1 and 8. But you shall receive power. You've heard this scripture many, many times in this church. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now remember, he's talking to his disciples, his believers. He's talking to people who love Jesus Christ. So that would put them in the category of being born again as far as I'm concerned. They've received Christ. Now the Holy Spirit will come on after that upon you. And you shall become witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Now, that's a very interesting, and if you've viewed this even superficially, you'll glean a great deal for your personal walk with Christ, and especially if you want all God has for you. And here's an interesting thing. What God has for you today is not what He has for you tomorrow. God grows with you. He walks with you. He intends to grow you more and do more in your life tomorrow. Remember that song, I Love You More Today Than Yesterday, but not as much as tomorrow. That's kind of the way it is with the Lord. He loves us right here like we are, and He's done a bunch of it in the past in our lives, But tomorrow he has love for us, but he has something else in store for us. And much more and deeper and more advanced and, of course, expanding our lives for his glory and for our benefit. That's the great thing. We receive benefits by serving the Lord. And so that sets the context here of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They're being instructed that they are going to receive power after the Holy Ghost. Well, the Holy Ghost doesn't come on until chapter 2. When they're all up in an upper room. Is everybody familiar with that? They're in an upper room and they're doing what Jesus told them to do. Go and tarry and wait for the promise of the Father. And the promise of the Father was actually the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Remember what he said to John and Jesus were both, they both said the same thing. John first and then Jesus later in his ministry. That he would be the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy that declared that John would baptize in water, but that Jesus would baptize in the Holy Ghost and fire. And so that distinctive has been made clear back into the Old Testament. And that's a powerful thing. And so what Jesus tells his disciples is, go tarry in the upper room to receive the promise. What's the promise? It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is going to baptize them in the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, separate from their personal relationship with them. Everybody that was in the upper room was a born-again Christian. They were followers of Jesus Christ. They had already made that commitment. They were obeying Jesus Christ and going and tarrying in the upper room as he instructed them to do. And here he encourages them in the book of Acts. Luke records it. He tells them exactly what's going to happen. But now here's an interesting thing. The sixth verse tells you what was on their mind. His apostles, his disciples that became apostles, these gentlemen were being instructed by the Lord. Listen to what's on their mind. And when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou, but you got to remember now, this is after the resurrection. Okay, I forgot to put that little caveat in there. He's already been resurrected. He's already died and come back to life. And they witnessed to that for 40 days. And so they come to him, they ask a logical question, but it isn't relevant. And they said, Lord, wilt thou this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? This has been a topic of problem for Jesus through his whole ministry. People were wondering, has he come now? Has the Messiah come to set up the kingdom? No, he has not come to set up the kingdom. In fact, he instructs them that this is not for them to know, for them to understand. This is in the power of God the Father. He determines what he's telling them. It's none of your business. It's the Father's business. And he'll set up the kingdom when he sets up the kingdom. Now, that's really not relevant to what we're talking about, but that's the context in which Jesus gives this encouragement. You're going to receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you, separate and distinct from your relationship with Christ. And so it is a definite action that God is going to have to take place for that power to be extended and also a willingness on the part of those people to receive it. And so the Bible tends to interpret itself. And so later in the second chapter, they received that, and it was an action from God. There was visible evidence, and there was, you could hear it, you could see it, and you could experience it all in the upper room. And so with that kind of evidence, that was the confirming power of the Holy Spirit. That was confirming what Jesus Christ said right here in the first chapter and elsewhere in the Gospel of John. And so being obedient to Christ and loving him and serving him and want all he has for you is going to endue you with power, because you cannot seek God that much and escape the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your life. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you and give you power if you're hungry enough for God. If you want all of God has for you, he's willing to dump the whole load right on you if you're willing to accept it. Most people fall short of that. Even people who have been filled with the Spirit feel like that's enough, and that's another extreme. That's not enough. When you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's just the beginning of all the great things that God wants to pour out in your life. But he will hesitate if you do not seek him more, want more of him. He will give you all you want, but he won't overfill you. Hello? He'll give you all you want, but he's not going to drown you. He's going to baptize you. I'd like to, when I baptize some of the young people, I hold them under a little longer so God has more time to work on them. But anyway, I did that to Jubal. And when I finally lifted him up, he spun around, dove down, and shot underwater up and up the stairs. One of my most exciting baptismals. It was great. But listen to what he says. He said, you'll receive power. And I want to talk about power in a minute, but he says, after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea, also in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, I don't know if you've ever read that and broke that down, but that is an ever-progressive expansion. That's Jerusalem and then all of Judea. Jerusalem is a city, the hub, the core of the Jewish religion, and also the seat of Christianity, because that's where the church began, was in Jerusalem. And so that's what's happening there. So that's a city, but now Judea is the country. You got that? And in that expansion to the countryside into Judea, there he says it'll also expand into Samaria. I find that interesting. I don't know if you know this, but you know that the Samaritans were not people that were welcomed by Jewish people. What they were leftover people from captivities. Israel was taken captive by Babylonians and others. I don't know how many times they were taken captive, but they were taken captive, and some people were left back there to work the ground and all that. And of course, like the Babylonians or the whoever else was occupying, Assyrians or whoever was occupying Israel, they intermarried with those that were left, and they made a mixed breed called Samaritans, and they lived in Samaria. Interestingly, this is what's interesting to me, that God in his great love, because you see, they worshiped him on a mountain, and the Jews worshiped him in Jerusalem. You remember when Jesus encountered that lady, and that discussion went on, and she said, yeah, we know the Messiah's coming, but we worship God on this mountain. And it was a sacred mountain, but you were the Jews worship in Jerusalem. They never intermingled. They never had worship together or anything together. And yet they were step brothers and sisters or whatever. They were just had other blood mixed, and the Jews didn't like that, and the Samaritans didn't like the Jews because the Jews didn't like that. Okay, and so what the deal is this: Jesus says that in this expansion we're going to include our half brothers. Jerusalem, Judea, the whole country, and then we're going to expand even to our half-brothers over here. And then we're going to expand from there. We're going to go to the whole world, which meant what? It meant Gentiles, which meant something very interesting, that the Jews had got to get together with the rest of the world for God to pour his Spirit out and everybody be equal in God. Make sense? And so this expansion is very important, because I think that's exactly what Jesus Christ does in our lives. You may not realize it. Let me kind of expand this for you. One of the interesting things about becoming a Christian is you have a future mapped out for you by God, that if you're willing to follow him, will bring great blessing, great testing, great everything, but he will get you to a place where everything he has for you is being poured into your life. That has to come by expansion. You cannot take today what God has for you a year from now. He's preparing you now for the things that you're going to be facing in the future. If you haven't realized this yet, I'm sure if you look back over the pattern of how you've had to go through tests and trials and whatever, and successes and great joys and whatever, while you've gone through this progression, I think if you look back, you'll realize that's what God's been doing all along. He's preparing you for the next day, preparing you for the next day, for the expansion, for the growth, and for the influence that you're going to have. And one of the great things about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that power will be unleashed to you and in you and through you. And it'll be done for the purpose of expanding his kingdom on this earth. Now, his kingdom on this earth is not the kingdom. You understand that, don't you? What he means by the kingdom on this earth is all born-again Christians. That's his kingdom. Am I making sense? Still with me? I don't want to lose you along the roadside, because you'll miss out on some of the things I want to share with you. And so you can be a witness. It's a very interesting thing. Everybody has this idea of witness. The only way we think of witness, or most of us have this concept of witness, is we go door to door and hand them a pamphlet and try to tell them about Jesus Christ. Door slams in our face. We go to the next one, try to buck up a little more. Knock, knock. Here's the track. I got to go to this church down here. Slam. And the whole thing. I've done all that. Been on the street corner. I've done all that kind of witnessing. That's not... I don't think that's all that is encompassed by this term. Certainly, part of it is sharing Christ with people out anywhere. We have people in this church that do that, and probably everybody at some extent has done that out to other people. And that's very important, because how do you get people to know Jesus Christ? Because you're the tool he uses. That's wonderful. So there'll be opportunities out in the world everywhere for you to give your testimony or share Christ, or somebody will ask you, how did you make it through that time of operation, or that time when you lost a child, or you lost a parent, or whatever trial or sorrows you've had to go through, and they're going through it. They'll come to you because they know you've succeeded and you've survived. And so they're drawn to you. So it's wonderful out there in the world to be able to share Christ with other people and encourage them to test Christ. Find out if Christ is not the answer for you. The other area of witness that I think is just as valid is how you fellowship with God's people. You establish a witness by how you live and how you fellowship and how you work for the kingdom of God with this church. If you attend this church or any church that you may attend, you are part of that. You become part of a witness. This church has a witness. People in this town know this church. They know you go here, and they put an X on your mailbox. I don't know if you saw that or not. Don't fellowship. These people are nuts, man. They sing way too long, and they stand up all the time. Anyway, so we have a witness, and you're a part of that. And it's a wonderful thing. That's why God invented church. It wasn't invented just to have song fests or fellowship dinners and stuff like that. Those things are all wonderful for part of fellowship, but the Holy Spirit does wonderful things about our testimony. Have you ever noticed also that when one of us gets in trouble, we rally to help that person that's in trouble? Have you noticed that? And when somebody may be sick or whatever they may be going through, we have a prayer chain. We get together praying and asking God to minister to them. And if there's anything that we can possibly do, we want to do that. We want to be a blessing. That's called fellowship, and that's called being a witness. When people that don't know us very well, they come to visit us, and they want to find out more about us, and they see how we treat one another, that's a witness. I assure you that the Holy Spirit uses you when you don't even know it as a witness by how you treat one another. Isn't that, oh, wait a minute. That's one of the big two, isn't it? Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. How you treat is a witness. And how you treat the people of the world, it's a witness. Now, see, I heard, you know, when the thing blew up in Florida, and that nightclub, and 49 or some odd people were killed, and it was a gay club or whatever the deal was. When I heard that, now I'm no holy Joe. Come on, I'm sorry. I'm a taper, drywaller. That's what I am. And every once in a while I give a speech on Sunday mornings. But I'm going to tell you something. My first reaction to that was, oh God, did you give them time to ask you into their heart? That was my first reaction. Now maybe that'll make me any better than anybody else. But I heard people saying things like, God's finally judging these people for their lifestyle. They didn't say it that way. They said it worse than I cleaned it up for you, okay? And I heard that and I thought, oh my goodness, I hope we Christians, by the way, it was a pastor, it was a preacher that said this. And I'm thinking, oh Lord, don't let that be the witness. Don't let that be the witness. Let our love and compassion and outreach and prayers for them and their families. You know, their families have lost loved ones. Have you ever lost a loved one? You know how important it was for God's people to gather around you and pray for you? Absolutely. Because they have a lifestyle I don't agree with, and it may be sinful according to the Bible, that's not my responsibility. My responsibility is to love those people and show Jesus Christ to them. And the only way we can do that perfectly, of course, is with the Holy Spirit. But God, don't let that be the witness of the Christian church that we're happy that gay people were killed in a nightclub. But do you realize how ridiculous that is? Maybe I'm wrong. You know, sometimes I think things like this and I think, God, speak to me out loud. Am I the one that's wrong thinking here? I don't think I am. Just because you'd have to kill everybody on the planet. My gosh, that's not the only sin under the sun, you know. It just disturbs me when preachers do, when preachers, what was it, military guys were being buried and these preachers would come and make all kinds of crazy things, statements about the war and all kinds of crazy stuff. I don't want that to be the witness. So witness is very important, but we need the power linked with the witness so that we can overcome the negative witness that may be out there, because I don't agree with that. I agree you got to love people. I may not agree with the lifestyle, And I don't agree that it's taking us in a good direction in a lot of areas, but I do not believe that we should rejoice in the calamity of someone else. I just don't agree with that. I'm not going to agree with that, and you can't make me. Amen? But there's all kinds of witness, and I think it's important that we understand Jerusalem, the hub of the Jewish and the early Christian church, the center where God's Spirit came, where Jesus was executed and all of the great things resurrected and all those great things happened in that whole area around Jerusalem. That was the hub. That was the center of great experience with God. And then on a day of Pentecost in the upper room, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it was the center. And that would be just exactly like what happened to you in your experience with Jesus Christ. You accepted Christ into your heart. You had a spiritual experience. I'm assuming that. I know what I experienced. I assume you had some kind of a religious spiritual experience. You can't explain it to people who don't understand that, but you can describe the sensations and all the things that went on around you when it happened, the environment and everything, but you really cannot describe salvation. You cannot. They have to experience themselves to understand what you're talking about. And when I encourage people, I tell them what happened to me and how it turned my life around. I was just talking with a kid yesterday, riding up to Ellensburg to do some work up there. And he's telling me about, he's a Christian guy, goes to Mike Lyons Church in Yakima. He's telling me, nice kid, and he's telling me how his Christian walk has been up and down and up and down and up and down. And I said, can I ask you a question? And he said, yeah. I said, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? He said, no, I haven't. I said, you know what it is, don't you? Yeah, I know what it is. I've seen guys get it. I saw a guy get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he laid on the floor, and he laughed for about 20 minutes. Well, okay, let's pause for a second for station identification here. Every person is going to respond differently to the power that comes upon you. It's going to be different. Some of it's going to be peculiar to you. I assure you it was peculiar because on the day of Pentecost, they thought all the Christians were drunk. Hello? I don't know, but can I take you back to real life? When I was a drinker, people knew when I was drunk. Amen? I see some of you smiling and trying not to shake your head, but you know, and I did some weird things. Crawled across the field on my hands and knees and lost my lunch two or three times on the way. That's pretty peculiar, don't you think? It certainly wasn't laying on the floor laughing at all, but I'll tell you, that was my experience with that kind of spirits. You experience something in the Holy Spirit, there's going to be weird manifestations from time to time. People's emotions, people's personalities are going to respond differently. That doesn't mean, and that shouldn't be a hesitation for anybody who needs to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Oh no, he's going to make me fall on the floor and laugh. Well, dear Lord, I'd say don't do it. Please don't do it, because that would embarrass me also. But what I want you to understand is you'll react differently. Everybody reacts differently. Your salvation is different than mine. But we'll react differently to the Holy Spirit. Well, what I want you to understand is there's an initial experience with Christ. And then God begins to expand you and does greater and more powerful and more wonderful things. But to complete that story, I told that kid, yeah, I've seen manifestations like that. I said people react differently as the Spirit comes upon them. I'm not big problem with that. Now if they start grabbing chairs and throwing them and kicking flowers over, and then there's a problem. You know what I'm saying? Well, maybe even earlier than that, there's a problem. But my point is this. I told him, listen, what you need is the power that comes with the Holy Spirit. He will make your life more consistent. It will not be this big high and this big low and this big high and this big low. And a struggle. He happened to struggle with alcohol and you know what alcohol is like. Anyway, it's not this big high and big low. He'll mellow that out. You'll still have ups and downs and nicks and crannies that you're going to have to deal with. But the thing of it is, that's wonderful about the power that comes, he levels you out. He levels you out. He delivers you if you need deliverance. And then he gives you a steady path to walk. That's how the Holy Spirit works. He did it for me, and he's done it for millions besides me. And he'll do it for you if you need him and want him and want the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And I want to encourage you to do that if you have not experienced that. But so your witness needs to be good. So when God moves in your life, he moves in the center, the hub, the initial experience. Then he begins to expand you. You begin to grow. You get a bigger picture of what Christianity is all about. And you start to have greater influence around you. Family, friends, so forth. Then you may even be able to go to people that once were hated by you. I don't know if you like this or not, but I used to hate a few people. I didn't like old people for one thing. Now that I am one, I think they're pretty cool. The little kids used to bug me. Now I just love every one of them. Their cheeks, I like to pinch their cheeks and the whole thing. But that was just because I was a jerk. It wasn't had anything to do with them. But what the Holy Spirit tends to do and wants to do in this whole process is change here, so that you don't hate anymore, and that you don't have prejudices anymore, and you don't let those kinds of things deter you. So God may send you to people you never liked before. I've had to go talk to people for Christ that I really did not like. And I went, has anybody else had to do that? Okay, there's three of us. And that's very good. This whole idea of being a witness to people that you don't care for, or that are half-breeds to you or whatever, Samaritans to you, God is going to expand you to that. And he's going to take even beyond that into reaching anybody who will give you an opportunity to share Christ. He will expand you. And I want expansion in my life. I want growth in my life. I want power in my life. And it's not absent. I have power in my life. I've been a Christian for a long time. And I would not be a Christian for a long time were it not for that very power. It not only delivers me, but it sustains me. It keeps me. When I used to do these things, I don't do them anymore. They offend God. I'm not doing them. I'm going to walk in the power of the Spirit. And that is what maintained my Christian walk. And I shared that with him, and it seemed to kind of click. It kind of hit him. I don't know. Maybe I ministered to him in some way. But just like you throw a rock in a pond and it ripples out, that's what's happening in your personal life. Just like the example in the book of Acts here in the first chapter. Now I want you to turn over to the 11th chapter, and I want to move quickly so you can get out to lunch here pretty quick. But I want to talk to you a little bit about that power, because I think that power should be resident. See, it's very interesting. The power of God has never been absent in human history. Never been absent. The power of the Holy Spirit, which is the arm of God working among men, the power of the Holy Spirit has never been absent in human history. So, and you can go through church history or even history, secular history, and you'll read about religious movements that took place, and you'll discover that God's Spirit has been moving all along. All along. He's been doing things all along. He's been filling people with the baptism of the Spirit, with the baptism of the Holy Spirit for centuries, forever. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon people. Samson, little guy. Have you ever seen Jewish people? This is no offense, Pete. Trust me. They're not very tall. There's not very many Arnold Schwarzeneggers in Israel. I mean, they're great people. I love the people. Pete knows that too, but I love them. But there's not too many big bodybuilder Jews. So how can a little guy like that rip the gates off of a city? The power of God came upon him. He rips the gates off, carries them to the top of the hill. How does he slay with a jawbone of an ass? Power of the Spirit of God came upon them. How do you prophesy? The Spirit of God came upon them and they prophesied. You understand what I'm saying? It was an intense move of the Holy Spirit. Boring. This is a boring thing to somebody who's not in need of God's power in their lives. If you got everything together, I'm with you, man. I'm with you all the way. But I'm going to be honest with you. Hopefully this is courage. I'm courageous enough to say I need more of God. Anybody else with me? I need more of God. Because I find myself in situations overwhelming me, and I don't know the way out of them. And God comes on the scene and helps me. His power encourages me. I mean, at this point, I'm not going to get into the story, but someday you'll hear it. You hear everything about my life anyway. But I'm currently going through something that is not pleasant. And when I feel like telling you about it, I will. But what I do recognize is, I got up this morning at 5 o'clock, and I'll tell you this much. I'm under stress. I am under extreme stress. And do I look like it? No, I don't. That's the Holy Spirit, man. Because if it was me, My top of my head would. You ever see that commercial on TV? They talk to somebody else, and boom, the top of their head, purple stuff comes out of there. That's about where I'm at right now in a different situation. But anyway, the whole thing is I wake up at 5 this morning, I'm sitting there thinking, and so God tells me what to do. I go and do it, and man, I come back feeling good. I feel a lot better. And so the Holy Spirit gives you that strength. I don't know what you're going through. You maybe already have the whole thing, the whole rest of your life all planned out and got it all together. I don't, okay? I don't. I'll just be the first one to say, I don't know. I don't even know what tomorrow holds. I just hope it has a few hot dogs in it because I love hot dogs. But if you've got it all together, you write the book and I'll read it, okay? But most of us don't have it all together and we need some outside assistance, outside power. Salvation gets you right with God, but who helps you walk? Who helps you maintain? Who helps you be like Christ? Who's transforming you day by day by day into more and more and more like Jesus? It's the Holy Spirit of God. And it would behoove us to have a deep personal relationship with Him. Now, I don't want the kind of experience where you did like when I was first a Christian. I mean, the power of God had come on me and I just lose control of myself. Man, I'd flop on the floor like a fish on a hot dock. You know what I'm talking about? Flop, 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 flop. Bounce on like a basketball across the floor. You know, those were great experiences and I don't deny them and I'll let Him do it now. I don't care. And I don't care if you see me bounce across the floor like a basketball. But I don't really think that's how the Lord wants to move. I think He wants to move in such a way that that power is not just totally expressed by outward expressions, but it has inner transformation along with, not denying outward manifestations. I want what happens to me to transform me into something that is pleasing to God. I don't always like the means to get there, but I'm always thankful when I arrive and I know God has rescued me or delivered me, helped me, encouraged me, kept me. Am I making any sense at all? And I want to encourage you this morning, if you're going through things in your life and you've had an inconsistency that you really want to get under control, seek after the Holy Spirit. Now, let me encourage you in this way. I want to be very careful. I don't have a problem with manifestations that God does. You know what I'm saying? If you're slain in the Spirit on the floor, got no problem with any of that. Here's where I have a problem, and here's where I'm encouraging you. Seek the Lord, not the manifestation. It doesn't matter if you speak in tongues. It doesn't matter if you flop on the floor like a basketball. The problem with the movement today is that we're seeking the miracles. We need to be seeking the miracle-er, the miracle maker. We need to be seeking Jesus Christ. The more we seek Him, the more He will fill us with His power. I need that power to survive, and so do you, and so will you. And so I want to encourage you not only to recognize that you are a witness no matter what you're doing, even if you're not knocking on doors, but you're being a witness for Christ. That's extremely important because somebody has got to reflect Jesus to a lost and dying world. Wouldn't it have been awesome in Florida if that guy would have found Jesus before he went to the, and never probably would have went to the club? So that power, when the Spirit comes upon it, it's important. It's an act of God. It's God's glory to see His people blessed with His presence and with His power. And in this 11th chapter, just to illustrate the fact that this was expansion, this is this the 10th and 11th chapter are the chapters that talk about when the baptism of the Holy Spirit went beyond Samaria and to the uttermost part of the world. This is when the Gentiles began to receive the same thing that they received in the upper room. This is when God poured out His Spirit upon the Gentile people. He takes Peter to Caesarea, to Cornelius' house. While he's there, a messenger comes, invites him to Cornelius' house. Cornelius was a just man, a man who sought God, who wanted to know more about God, was hungry for more of God. And so Peter goes there, not willingly, not even tells him, man, I'm not even supposed to be in your house. I'm a Jew, you're a Gentile. There's a division between us, and I am here to declare to you that in this New Testament era, there's no division anymore. We're all the same. If you're a Jew filled with the Spirit, you're a Jew that's born again, I'm a Gentile born again, we're brothers. That's exactly what it is. And here's the interesting thing. Peter goes there, he tells the guy, hey man, I'm a Jew, I'm not even supposed to be in your house. Well, God had already dealt with him over on the mountaintop, on the housetop. Got his heart right and got his mind right. You know, sometimes God's got to get our mind right before He can expand us. Now, I'm not talking about mind expansion like in the 60s. I'm talking about so God can expand us as a person, develop us, grow us, broaden our tent and our influence and our effectiveness. And so he goes there and he tells him, hey, he starts talking about Christ and all that, and bam, the Holy Spirit falls upon him. Have you experienced that? Have you ever sit around talking about the Lord and somebody share Christ, and bang, the power of God falls on you? Don't be ashamed. This is a Pentecostal church. Bam! And he's explaining this to the church. Hey, how could I oppose this? How could I say, hey, this is wrong, you're Gentiles, you can't receive this. This is something only for the Jews. It wasn't, it was for the expansion. And this is the illustration of the expansion. It expanded, and it has been expanding ever since. New generations, it expands to them. New generations expands. I know this isn't real exciting, but I'm praying for the Holy Ghost to fall down on you today. The final prayer of this service today is for the Holy Ghost to just come in great power into your life. And for you to hunger and thirst after all God has for you. And if you feel like you don't have it all, that's what you need to be seeking, is the baptism of the Holy Spirit of God. And so this expansion, I think, like Peter's expansion in our personal walk with Jesus Christ, we need more power. We need more power, but we need it in the form of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That is the power. That is the essence of the power. That's who we identify with. He's the one who is able to set us free. He sends the Spirit to fill us. He continues to keep us and build His kingdom. He also gives us personal deliverance if necessary, but He establishes His witness in our lives. I don't know about you, but I've always been haunted. Maybe that's not the word. What's another word, a good word, not haunted like in a bad way? But had this nagging thing in the back of my head. Yeah. And that has been, God, am I being a good witness? Now, this isn't for you, this is for me. Am I being a good witness? Lord, I want to be, and I try to take every opportunity, and I tell people about Christ all the time and everywhere I go, and in whatever circumstances. I don't care. I'll talk about you. But am I really being a good witness? Before I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I was not a good witness. I was kind of like the guy that shows the guy's head in the toilet and say, hey, you're going to hear about Christ whether you want to or not. That was the way my approach to being a witness. Did I win many people to Christ? No. I may have driven them away from the church. And they're the kind of people that when you run into them later, years later in their life, they say things like this. Man, I was going to this church and this guy, you should have seen this guy. He's flopping on the deck like a dead fish and a dying fish, and you couldn't talk to him, and you could be talking about 57 shivvies, and next thing you know, he's talking about Jesus and wanting to pray for you and get you saved right next to his shivvy. Not very influential. When I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, funny thing happened. And I think that's what prompts me to question, Lord, I question this because I want to be right with this. I want to be doing right. I don't want to feel guilty because I didn't say something to this guy and I said something to this guy. I want to know what a true witness is. God, make me a witness. Fill me again with your Spirit that changes me and gives me wisdom to know. Does anybody want the kind of wisdom that comes from the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Yeah. He's able to speak to my spirit, not just my soul. And so, I've got method behind my madness. I want everybody in this church to be filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Ghost, so I can watch all of you flop on around out here, just flopping around. And we've got a bad rap, because the genuine move of the Holy Spirit, a couple things you need to know. One, never focuses on you. Always focuses on Jesus Christ. Follow me? And so it's not about you, but it's what you can benefit because of Jesus Christ. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit will never embarrass you. The Holy Spirit's not going to embarrass you. Why would He embarrass you? Now, if you know my personality, it'd be like me to flop on the floor like a dying fish. But He respects you. Do you understand that? He respects you, he loves you, and he wants the best for you. And so when he manifests in your life and he comes into your life in that powerful way, that power begins to surge through you, you're going to discover, you're going to respond. I shake sometimes and I praise God and I get loud sometimes. But I try to have some wisdom. I think part of the genuine move of the Holy Spirit has a great deal of wisdom behind it. Let me ask you something. If we had just an imaginary guy sitting on the front row, strung out, addicted, can't break free, family won't have anything to do with him because he's stolen everything that he can get his hands on to feed his habit. His friends won't hang out with him because as soon as they got money, he's stealing it some way. People on the street, they know what he is. They're not giving money to him on the street corner anymore. He's in a desperate place. He's in the place where I'm lost as I can be. And I'm sitting at Christian Worship Center on the front row. What needs to happen? What kind of witness does this church need to have? This kind of witness is the witness I'm talking about. I want us to be so baptized in the Holy Spirit that we're going to love that guy right into the kingdom. Love him until he knows Jesus or leaves us or runs away or whatever. You follow what I'm saying? Not obnoxious, not beating him on the head. Now you got to repent. You are going to go to hell. He's already in hell. We want to make a difference. We want to expand the influence of this church. And we need everybody to be filled in the Spirit. And I'm going to tell you why. Because in the near future, we're expanding. Not building buildings. I'm getting a little tired of building buildings. But we're going to build a kingdom. We have been doing that, but our focus is not totally changing. But we're going to be having some services that are going to give us opportunity to let the Spirit get us ready for expansion. Personal expansion, that's first, obviously. Eh? Oh man, Brother Connor's going to preach on the baptism again. No, we're planning some things in the near future so that the Holy Spirit can have a movement here as never before in this church. We're going to have some prayer service nights where we're praying for the sick and whatever. God, whatever's going on in your life, we pray for you. I usually go hoarse on those nights because I get pretty intense in my prayer. We've got a lot of good prayer warriors. But I'm thinking about hooking that up with an evangelist to come and preach a few services for us as well. Not because I think that that's going to stimulate you, but because I want you to get focused so that the Holy Spirit can do in lives what he needs to do in people's lives. We're here not to be a social club. We're here to learn and grow in the Spirit, here and grow in fellowship. Yeah, we need to be a place where the Spirit of God can move and we can learn and grow in the Holy Spirit. But we also need to affect the world. We also need to transform our community. We've done a lot of things in this community that have been very positive. And one of the positive things I think we're going to do is see the Holy Spirit move. And I don't know, maybe some of your friends will find Christ. Maybe he'll do something in you that you've needed done for a long time. But I'm prepping you. I want us all to get filled with the Holy Spirit before we step into this. Because if we step into this, we don't know where it's going to go. We know God may blow this. This may be in another Azusa Street. Church of Godzilla. Named amongst Toronto and Pensacola. Or wherever else God's Spirit's fallen. So what I want to encourage you this morning to do is to receive the prayer I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for God's power to fall on your life. I'm praying for God to get everything out of your life that you don't need in your life. Amen? How many of us have got things we just don't need in our life? Everybody does. I mean, that's pretty universal. And we probably want to, but just haven't gotten it out of there. And I don't know what it is for each one of us. I know what it is for me. I got stuff that I need to just get out of my life. If you looked at my garage, you'd understand. I think that Simplify prophecy was good for me right there. But I'm going to ask you to stand in just one second here, and I'm going to pray a prayer. Now, when I pray this prayer, I'm believing that God's Spirit is going to move. Now, this is nothing to fear. God loves us and he wants to do a great thing. So don't be afraid of a prayer like this. Receive it by faith and let the Holy Spirit do in your life. He does nothing but good anyway. So it's going to benefit you. And those of you that are old veterans, been filled with the Spirit for a long time, how about a fresh move? Fresh move, a refreshing in your spirit. Boy, I could use that, huh? Man, you're down, you got your nose to the grindstone. Good to stop and sit back and let the Spirit refresh you, amen? I'm hungry for that. Hungry for the Spirit to move with wisdom and power and glory that brings honor to him and does not focus on me, amen? Let's stand together. I want to pray that prayer. In fact, I'm praying this prayer for everybody who may view this on our video or on our website, that anybody that needs this move in their life, God's Spirit would be poured out upon them. I want you to pray with me and just open your heart. I'm not taking an offering. I'm just asking you to open your heart and let God speak to you. And maybe he'll say something in your spirit this morning that you need to hear. Amen? Let's close our eyes and pray together. Father, right now, I extend my hands to these are your people. These are fine. These are good people. And they are faithful people. And I just pray that you would consider this morning this desire that we have to have an outpouring of your power and your presence and your spirit, that every one of us would receive it individually, not as a group, that we as individuals with our own personalities, that you would move in our lives and take consideration to who we are. And Father, I just pray that you pour out your spirit upon all of us this morning. We know you're preparing us to go in certain direction this year, and following Christ has been part of it, but also letting the Spirit lead us is another part of that. And so we want your Holy Spirit to just be poured out upon every one of us so that we're prepared for the days ahead when we will be expanding the tent. We'll be expanding. And Father, I just bless you this morning and pray that you would let everyone in the sound of my voice right now this morning be receptive to hear from you and let the Holy Ghost of fire fall upon their lives this morning. I pray that prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, one word of this encouragement before we leave. And before we leave, I just want us to take a moment and praise the Lord. I want to encourage you. You may not have sensed anything this morning right away. This week, just keep your antenna up and see if the Holy Spirit does not come to you, begin to speak to you. It'll sound like your own voice in your head, but he'll be saying things that you thought will be marvelous and wonderful that you never anticipated. You'll wonder, where'd that come from? It'll be God's voice speaking to you so that you can understand. If you didn't receive anything immediately, and I didn't really think you would, but if you did, praise God. This week, I assure you, keep your antenna on and God is going to come to visit you. He's going to minister to you because we need you. This power base right here is what we need to influence the world before Jesus comes. Am I making sense? Praise the Lord. Now let's just take a moment and thank the Lord for the outpouring of the Spirit we're going to experience. Amen? Father, I bless you this morning. Thank you for your goodness. Let your Spirit flow. Let him be poured out upon us, Father. Let every heart and every soul be encouraged today to follow after you, to hunger for you, and to thirst after you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody said?
Amen.
Power to the people. God, glory to God.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.